Tom Skilling with us on 720 WGN. Tom Skilling, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am so excited. And here's the problem. When I'm excited, my voice gets higher. I talk faster and louder.
Well, I'll tell you something. That voice sounds beautiful to me. So if that's excited, keep it going, Lisa. It sounds great.
I hope you know the place that you hold in the hearts of fans who absolutely adore you.
Oh, you're so sweet. I'll tell you something. You know, Lisa, it's really funny. I'll go into a supermarket. And, you know, we've all got masks on and all, and somebody will say, "Ooh, you're that weatherman, on, you're Tom Skilling." I said, "Yeah, how did you know that?" And they said, "That voice." And I thought, God, I didn't know it was distinctive. It's the voice I've always had. So that is so funny. But I don't know how I sit in their hearts, but I'll tell you, it's funny that people notice the voice. So I think that's wild.
You hold a special place.
Marvelous.
Thank you. You hold a special place in all of our hearts. And one of the greatest joys I shared with my mom was catching you every night at 9 o'clock. You know, as she aged, the weather was the one thing that she relied on, and she passed in March, and we were watching you the day before she passed. And so it's just, and I wanted to let you know that you have so many fans, and my whole family is one of them. So.
Oh, how sweet, Lisa. I'll tell you, I lost my parents 10 years ago, and I'm so sorry to hear you lost your mother.
Well, thank you. But you know what? Those are the memories I hold on to this Christmas season. I really do.
I know.
And she lived a beautiful life to the age of 93, and she was well right up to
93. 93. Gosh,
yeah.
Isn't that marvelous? So, I'll tell you.
Should we all be that lucky?
Isn't that the truth, Lisa? That's good.
I just know that she is smiling today, knowing that I finally get to talk to Tom Skilling.
Oh.
Are you going to work through the holidays? I think I heard you tell Anna one time that you like to work through the holidays because it was a little quieter, not so many people around.
Well, you know, shed no tears for me. I'm going away later in January. But as it turns out, I won't be working Christmas because it's Saturday this year. But I do, and there is a joy to working in the sense that you're not interrupted, the phone doesn't ring, and so it's kind of nice to be quiet.
Absolutely. Well, I got to tell you, you are a part of our family, whether you know it or not, so you've always got a place at our Christmas dinner table.
How sweet you are. Thank you.
Thank you,
Lisa. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. It's Tom Skilling, but I don't need to tell everybody that because everybody knows your voice, and we're headed for a temperature rebound, right? Are we going to see a difference in the temperature here over the next couple days?
Yeah, and you know, we had the coldest morning this morning in some time since earlier in the month. We went down to 20 last night or here, but we were as cold as 10, 11 in some areas out west of town. But there is a rebound coming, Lisa. We're going to go back to the 40s tomorrow, the near 50 on Friday, Christmas Eve, and Saturday, Christmas Day, could see a little rain, particularly in the morning, and a high in the mid-40s, low and mid-40s. So how about that? You know, Lisa, if we look at the combined temperature of Friday and Saturday, New Year's Eve and Christmas Day, this will be the warmest December 24th, 25th around here, fourth warmest in 79 years.
Yeah, and not one I like because I like to be on a snowmobile or on skis or ice fishing, and I'm not even sure I'm going to get that opportunity this year.
I know, you know, it's funny. I get these pictures from people all over the country. They're transplants, and they'll send weather pictures in. So I got these pictures yesterday from Arizona, and I always another one from Hawaii and one from somewhere down in Florida, and I always get a kick out of seeing the Christmas decorations.
I get it. I did radio in Houston, and I understand they might have the warmest Christmas on record.
I know. Yeah, it's really pretty amazing, isn't it, what we've seen happen? Two tornado outbreaks, and I mean not just tornado outbreaks, record storm outbreaks. That derecho that came across Iowa all the way from the Colorado Rockies across the plains in Iowa just last week. And then less than a week before that, we had that terrible tornado that went through downstate Edwardsville and also down in Mayville, down in Kentucky. That terrible long track tornado, apparently, potentially the longest track tornado, even exceeding the infamous March 1925 tri-state tornado that went across Missouri, Southern Illinois, and Indiana.
I was watching a show last night on Netflix with my son. David Attenborough was voicing it, so you know it was fantastic, but I can't remember the name. And it was on climate change and reaching the tipping point. And so what we're seeing now is a result of climate change, correct?
Oh, you know what happens? There is an element to that. Now, we have something else going this winter that may be a factor as well, and that's La Nina. That's a cooling of the equatorial Pacific waters, and that's known to produce more active tornado outbreaks and also a warmer than normal winter over a chunk of the country. Although these La Nina winters in the past have known to be volatile at times, temperature-wise. You segue from Arctic outbreaks to these mild spells brought on by the Pacific air coming across the country. And the change can be jarring between those two air masses. We haven't seen the other shoe drop yet on this pattern, but I think we may finally see some colder air coming as we head into the first week of January, late next week and the following week. And that also may introduce the first chance of snow. But, you know, think about what's gone on around here. The number of above normal days since autumn arrived, meteorological autumn on September 1st, we've had twice the number of above normal days of below normal days. This month, we've only had 3 days below normal of the first 22. So a lot of things going on, a lot of balls in the air here. And, you know, it's clear that this is an atmosphere that's doing things we haven't seen it do before.
Tom Skilling from WGN-TV, our beloved meteorologist, is joining us. We're going to get a check on traffic and come back and find out what you think, Tom, will be the first date and the depth of the snow that I am so desperately waiting for. Tom Skilling with us on 720 WGN. With all the weather events that you just mentioned, which are amazing and scary and costly, do you see in the future that there is a chance that insurance companies are going to make us carry not just riders for earthquake insurance, but the floodplains will be broader, where that will cost us more money as homeowners, or we might be, you know, in Kansas where wildfires are a risk? Is there any talk about that when you meet with other meteorologists?
Well, I'll tell you what we're already seeing, and this is not all a bad thing. First of all, we're encouraging not to rebuild in areas that flood over and over again. It's crazy to keep rebuilding communities that are destroyed by flooding when it's clear that they've been built in floodplains. And you can't even get flood insurance in some coastal areas of the country because, you know, they're just so prone to flooding. And that's going to happen more and more as sea levels continue to come up. So I think there will be an economic impetus to not build in places that are vulnerable and also to reinforce our buildings. You know, part of this, not only should we be trying to cut greenhouse gases, but part of it is building structures that aren't as easily able to blow apart. There are ways you can construct homes and all in vulnerable areas where they're not so prone to being destroyed by winds and all. And I think things like that are going to take place.
My husband is a third-generation farmer in western Illinois, and, you know, the farmers kind of always said, oh, it's just the way of the world. Things aren't changing. But now they're starting to whisper and talk among themselves because they're facing so many challenges with climate-related issues. And what would you say to those people? I mean, what does their future look like in the state of Illinois or Iowa or Wisconsin, where farming is such a big part of the fabric of these states?
Oh, my word. You know, we're the breadbasket to the world around here. You know, what goes on with our farmers across the Midwest is critical. We feed the world in many respects. We certainly feed this country, and that's true in agricultural regions out in California, for instance, where there are some real water issues out there. They pump water out of aquifers to do, you know, a lot of our fresh vegetables all come from California, and they have some water issues. So, you know, one thing we can tell you, there is not a cyclicality to this. A lot of people say, oh, you know, these are cycles. On geologic timescales, tens of thousands of years, our orbit around the sun changes shape. And we also wobble on the axis of our planet as we spin each day. But this occurs over tens of thousands of years. And so these big ice ages that have occurred in the past take tens of thousands of years to come on and leave. And what's happening now is happening fast, and it's driven by atmospheric chemistry, changing the way the planet heats by putting in gases that hold on to and re-radiate heat. When you do that, you start, since all weather on Earth is driven by differential heating, the fact one place gets warmer than another, you start changing jet streams, which deliver us the rains and that provide us the water that we need for drinking and also crop production and all. So there are concerns as we go deeper into the future that we may interrupt the normal precipitation patterns across the Midwest. And we've seen more frequent instances of flooding. Well, this year, drought was the issue over northern sections of the Chicago area and up into the upper Midwest. So more extremes of precipitation come on, and we've seen the lake level bobbling around faster than it has in the past. It's always bobbled around, but it's doing it faster. So a lot of things going on, Lisa, with all this. And you know, it's something that we're watching with great interest and concern.
We walked to get a coffee this morning, and my kid kept saying, "It's cold, it's cold." And I thought, well, no, it doesn't feel that cold. Then we looked at the phone, and it was 22 degrees. But does that have to do with the moisture in the air where it didn't feel that cold, to me at least?
Well, think about it. First of all, we don't have a snow cover. The coldest temperatures happen when we put reflective snow on the ground that reflects away the sunlight and preserves the Arctic chill that's coming in from Canada. The snowpack is way north of us right now. And another thing, Lisa, you know the record low temperature for today is 21 below zero.
Oh,
that means we've gotten that cold before. We went down to 20 last night. It's been so warm lately that feels really cold to us. You know, we're not getting the kind of cold spells that last weeks on end, if not months, the way we did, say, back in the 1970s. Remember those cold waves there? You'd have a snowstorm, you go down to 20 below zero right after it. We don't get that. And when we do get a week of cold air, it's front page news, and we call it the polar, you know, vortex and stuff like that. These are shorter spells. Even the one in Texas that took out the electricity last year, that lasted essentially a week and a half, 2 weeks. They had problems after that with the grid, but that had been an above normal winter up to that point. And that was true of our winter a couple of years ago when we had that polar surge come down. They don't last as long and they're not as intense. So we have been warming up some. It's just that it feels cold to us compared to the warmer than normal weather we've had recently.
Well, I launch a new show on Chicago Afternoon News on Monday, January 3rd, and I thought if it has not snowed at that point, maybe we should play a little game called Date and Depth. So I'm predicting that January 3rd, we will see 3 inches of snow. Do you have a random prediction for us on the date and the depth of the first snow in Chicago, which will be the latest first snow this year?
Yeah, the normal date for average measurable snow, that's a tenth of an inch or more, is November 18th. We're more than a month beyond that. We've never gone this late in the season without measurable snow. Couple thoughts on that. While I don't see the specific storm yet with great detail that will affect us, the pattern is changing later next week and the week that follows. And even before that, there's a little weather system that may brush us Sunday night and Monday. That has a chance of putting down some sticking snow in part of the area, but it also may be mixed with rain. There's another one that comes in on Tuesday and another one Thursday next week. But it's the following week where the pattern gets a little more interesting looking. I don't see the specific storm yet, although the models are looking at a couple, and that would be the first week in January. So you say January 3rd. There's one around New Year's Day that looks worth watching, and there's another one toward the 6th of January on our longer-range models. Now, at that range in time, you don't dare get specific, nor do you put a lot of money on the chance it's going to occur. You just start flagging that period as one we'll watch as we get newer and newer data on that and we get closer to the date. We'll see if it holds up. But it's got to happen eventually. Although, you know, something interesting, Lisa, we found that in every year we've looked at that has gone this long without snow, and there hadn't been that many of them, the winter as a whole has wound up with less snow than normal, the final tally. That doesn't mean there weren't snowstorms of note that caused troubles, but it means that when you tally up the snow at the end of those seasons, it's been below the normal of 37 inches around here. So we'll see how this season finally ends up occurring.
Well, I think my snowmobile is going to stay in the garage. Thank you so much for joining me, Tom. I wish you a very Merry Christmas. We'll be watching you on WGN-TV like we always do.
Thank you, Lisa. Merry Christmas to you. And by the way, that snowmobile, you can head up north. They have a nice snowpack in the upper Midwest. So if you're really desperate.
I've got a cabin
Merry
reserved.
Christmas to you.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Lisa.